Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. I am very, very sorry for our delay. We have a guest who is having technical problems, and I don't know what's going on there. So, cheers, everybody. Cheers, Paul. Cheers, Lipton.
Cheers,
cheers Jabon78. Cheers, Detroutska, whatever that says, Delta thing. Cheers, Hogan Gilligan, and Pekapis, and Salu, and Saludo, and Proust, and Frost, and Skoll, and... yes, here we go. Proust, Skoll, and Proust, and Yahidar, and what's that Israeli thing, Paul? Paul,
what?
What's the Israeli? What's the Hebrew one? What? Paul's gone. So this is a lot of technical bollocks happening here today. Anyway, so cheers, everybody, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. We are, of course, online public house. Meets on Mondays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss based science, interesting stuff in the news, and stuff that is expunged from our woke joke universities. There's all kinds of technical problems today, chaps, so I don't know what's going on there. So yes, Skoll, Ulfstea, and Slanger, and Slangeva, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Okay, I have a very special guest for you today, and that is Madeline, who is a person I've found on Twitter, who I found quite interesting. So I'd like her to introduce herself. So Madeline, please introduce yourself to the assembled.
Hi, yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties getting into StreamYard and everything. So unfortunately, I'm on my phone. Hopefully everything's working okay. But yeah, I am a sort of journalist, content creator, really. I'm known as Journo Maddie. That's M-A-D-D-I-E on like X mostly, but also Instagram, a little bit on YouTube. I cover things like protests, talk to people who are concerned about issues like immigration. That's basically what I do. I have recently been doing things to do with like Restore. I'm a supporter of them as well. And then I was recently at the Remigration Summit at the weekend, meet lots of interesting European people, do a lot of stuff in Europe as well as the UK.
Well, let's start with that then. I mean, there's various things I've written down, such as, have you heard about this, Paul? There was a doctor that's been struck off for buying pornography of men having their penises cut off. And he himself has had his legs cut off because the idea of it sexually arouses him. And his name is Neil Hopper. I mean, I just thought it was a wonderful name, Neil Hopper. But anyway, let's start off with the remigration thing then. So what was the general feeling on the ground at this summit then, Maddie? Is it looking like it's going to go ahead and there's a power behind it?
Yeah, so the summit was organised primarily by Martin Selner, that people might be familiar with. He's quite a well-known remigration activist in Europe and a bunch of other people. And the whole premise is basically to get people in Europe and also some people in places like America and Canada on board with the same idea, work together towards the common goal of remigration to fight issues like, you know, violence against women is a big one, obviously, and in general, demographic replacement. Lots of people from all over Europe came to attend this conference, and some people even from like Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada. And at the moment, they're trying to get everyone to sign a Save Europe Act, which is easy to find a link to online on X, to pressure the European Parliament to agree to remigration, essentially. But I just went there to talk to people. I did a couple of interviews with some well-known people, some just general activists who are on the street, and see how they feel about it. But even though everyone has their differences in Europe, they want this common goal at this particular conference.
So what was the most interesting conversation that you had?
I did a couple of interviews that haven't come out yet for a company, like a new media organisation called Vox Europa, that I don't know if I want to say yet who they were with, because I don't know if they'd want me to, but I had some really interesting conversations with them. They've already published my interview with Jared Taylor, which was great. Like, he was a really interesting person to speak to. He gave me a lot of his time, and I was very grateful because he's obviously quite a high profile person that everyone wanted to speak with him. We even had some people from the UK there as well who did speeches, like Sammy Woodhouse, one of the grooming gang survivors, gave a speech about the importance of just being aware of the issues that come with migration for women's safety, essentially. And a lot of people there were very, very interested in what's going on in the UK, especially with the grooming gangs. And I believe you know Lucy White as well. She was on one of the panels talking about, you know, things like the Nationality Act, I believe was one of the things that she was speaking about. I actually missed her talk, though, unfortunately, because I was off talking to just European activists and hearing about what's going on in places like Spain. I'm sure you know what's happened in Spain recently. They naturalized a lot of people, like 500,000 illegal immigrants. And so they're really concerned about that issue. And yeah, just everyone's concerned about the same issue, basically. I don't know if there's anything there that you want to follow up on at all. Or if
I don't know who you interviewed. I have interviewed Jared a number of times, and yeah, I can confirm he's and stayed at his house. And I can confirm that he's very friendly. Okay, now I'm going to start off with in terms of we'll go back to the remigration thing later, but I want to start off with Bonnie Blue. Now, chaps, people say that they are in favour of abortion and that life before birth has no value, and you should be allowed to have an abortion if you like up to birth. And yet, I'm fascinated by Owen Jones asserting, upon hearing about what this woman intends to do, that he feels like he's right wing now, or he feels like he's conservative now because he's so repulsed by what she's going to do. And it strikes me as almost demonic to have a baby shower and have sex with people while pregnant. I genuinely thought it was a deep fake. Lipton, what did you think about it?
I don't follow Bunny Blue, but what I will say is that I was thinking about sex differences. And I'm going to say this as quickly as possible. In gender equal countries, women engage in stereotypically female professions. Their personalities are more feminine. Sex differences in academic performance are larger. It's quite difficult to neutralize gender. Let me not use the word gender. Let me just say sex. It's difficult to neutralize sex differences because they are biological. Liberated women will work as engineers, and some of them will follow Bunny Blue. Men online are career experts, are finance experts. Women want to be pretty girls or e-girls. Women will be women. And that's for abortion. I don't endorse abortion, but women who have abortions are usually mentally unstable. And because we're entering into a dysgenic phase, probably those women should just take their descendants out of the population.
I agree, but while they're pregnant with them, I don't think that they should. I mean, it's like that scene in the Brass Eye, isn't it? In 2001, Brass Eye paedophile special. He fucks me anally, prenatally. I mean, that's what she's proposing to happen to that child. I just can't believe it's possible. Paul, what do you think?
I just think it's mental illness. It's beyond nymphomania, and I don't know what more to say beyond that, in the sense that there just seems widespread weird psychological phenomena going on. People have lost the plot that anyone could do that to their body. Well, you're the more of a psychological expert. I'd be curious about, you know, the region of the brain that controls impulse, whether that is either missing in her head or damaged in some way, because it's not normal.
Well, no, she's obviously, if you look at her Twitter page, it's all her being gangbanged and stuff like that. I mean, what was that other one, the one that did the have sex with 100
Lily
men?
Lily Phillips.
She seems sane compared to Bonnie Blue.
Yeah, but even apparently at university, she was basically, you know, nobbing around left, right and centre in a nymphomaniac type way. And then she thought, why not get paid for it?
Well, but again, so were you when you were at university. But I mean, it's a massive.
Well, I did get paid for it though immediately, so that's different.
Yeah, that is true. But it's absolutely, like, if you look at the Twitter page of this Lily Phillips, it's just a few naked photographs, and that's about it. The other, it's just constant gangbangs. She's obviously deeply sociosexual, incredible fast life issue strategist, and I suppose just highly unstable. She must be highly, highly unstable. I mean, it's impulse control. Yeah. She plans these things. I mean, she's thought about this.
Lily Phillips. Are we talking about Bunny Blue or Lily Phillips?
No, Bonnie Blue.
Okay, so who has the gangbang photos online? Is that Lily or Bunny?
Bonnie Blue.
Okay, I was just
That's
about to
Bonnie
say
Blue.
that. Yeah, Bunny Blue. She has the sexuality profile of an obsessively gay man who's addicted to sex. That's her
Yeah.
profile.
Right. And it's just not possible. I mean, I remember when I was at school, it tells you how old I am, right? It was discovered that our teacher, Miss Hebb, in my first year at junior school, and she had a daughter called oh, what was her name? Whatever, I forget her name. But anyway, and she wasn't married. She was Miss Hebb, Miss, mind you, and she had a daughter. And she wasn't married, and that was scandalous. And in 1988, and now and now this. I mean, I can't. I mean, she's about your. She's presumably about your kind of generation, Madeline. This Bonnie Blue girl.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of controversy over her age. People think she's older than she says she is. I can't remember how old she says she is, though, but somewhere in my age group, yeah, because I'm in my 20s. But a lot of people make assumptions about women based on her, and it's just not the case. I think most women are actually really repulsed by her behavior, and we really don't like it. Even quite liberal women don't like it because she goes just so far. This latest thing with the baby shower is just really disgusting. I think pretty much everyone recognizes that's wrong. But I think she just wants attention. And then, because when she gets attention, she gets money. But it has negative effects for the rest of us because people assume that we're all like this, especially globally. It has a really negative impact on the image of British women. So everyone just wants her to stop, really, from
But
most.
Madeline, could I ask? I get the idea that she wants attention, but wouldn't that also be an issue about just the repulsive activities she's engaged in? That's why I'm questioning her impulse control. You might want attention, but you would be repulsed by what she's doing to get the attention. And she doesn't seem to be repulsed. So that's why I just suggest it's maybe more than just attention.
I can't read her mind, but the whole thing is really unpleasant to watch, to be honest. And if she is genuinely pregnant this time, so I think was she pretending to be pregnant before? I think there might have been some fake thing. If she's genuinely pregnant, I'd be quite concerned for the baby, to be honest, because it's very wrong. And it's genuinely disturbing to think about. It's just not the right kind of thing to be doing. And yeah, you do just wonder what's actually going on in her head and whether someone should really step in and stop her. Like, she's an adult and she can do her own thing, et cetera, but there's something definitely not right. Although people can debate about what the cause is. I've seen people say that they think she's a psychopath, and I'm not a psychologist, so I can't diagnose her, but that's at least some people's theory
There's
about why.
something sacred about it, though, isn't it? A new life. It's what no matter how brutal and crass Darwinian I might be, there is something about that. That when someone says they're pregnant, you're like, oh, the future. Oh, there's something in general slightly beautiful about that, and slightly wonderful about that, and precious about that, and the most vulnerable thing possible, a baby human, not even a baby, a fetus human. And the idea,
But Ed, is that true anymore? Given, for example, the abortion debate is obviously, people are diametrically opposed, but there always used to be some type of consensus that beyond a certain point it was barbaric, and yet now there are people just seemingly arguing seriously for to the minute of being born, and abortion is fine. So this idea about the baby being sacred in some type of way, I think that's the horse has bolted on that one.
Well, I agree, Paul. Personally, I value life. I was baptized in a Christian church. However, I'm also pragmatic. I am not the evangelical Christian in the context of imposing Christianity on other people. And whenever I am told that somebody is pregnant, I often say, okay, will this person be a positive or a negative? That's what I think about these days. I don't really think about the life of the baby being sacred. Is this baby going to be a dysgenic trend or a eugenic trend? End of story.
That's a good point, Lipton. So what you're saying is that Bonnie Blue's baby is probably going to be dysgenic.
Yes. I don't care about Bunny Blue.
and therefore it deserves to be ejaculated over in utero.
She can do whatever she wants. Like, we don't want a generation of men and women like Bunny Blue.
Paul, you have to give people a warning before you ban them.
Why? If Nimble Horse wants to be a cock, why can't I ban him?
No, you can't ban Nimble Horse. He's a long-term viewer of the show.
Yeah, we'll just ask him to stop being a cock.
Listen, stop, Nimble, stop being a cock, okay? I've given Paul this right because people keep being mean, so stop doing that. Okay.
Think about this, Abe. If the population declines and the birth rates are plummeting, obviously labor will become scarce, and if labor is scarce, workers will have greater bargaining power. So in the long term, the abortion debate, if it is positive, meaning pro-abortion, it will benefit future workers. So I don't support abortion, but these days I'm realistic. I have no sympathy for the left.
If you look at the Polish data, then they used to have more liberal abortion laws than they have, and then they rendered the abortion laws much, much more conservative, with the consequence the result was it didn't possibly affect Polish population growth. All it did it, at all, but the population actually started to fall. So that means that if you make abortion more difficult to get, then people are just more careful. That's what it means. So it doesn't actually. These people say we need to ban abortion so that the more Europeans have children. And they're wrong. It just basically means that psychopathic, selfish people don't really want children but want to have sex are strategists. Will be more careful. That's what it means.
Yes, Maddie,
Lipson. Sorry.
No, I was just about to reiterate my previous point. We're having a labor crisis. If the population declines, labor will become more important. We might have more automation, so both more innovation and better jobs for our workers. So these left-wing people are doing us a favor. We shouldn't stop them.
No, but the problem is that surely is that then you get, if you, this happens, this population decline, then you end up with an increasing percentage of the population that is elderly and useless and can't do anything. And then this means everything becomes more expensive and more difficult because there's fixed costs to lots of things. So prices just go up. Sorry, yes?
Can I also add that with the abortion debate, you know, a lot of the immigrant groups, they don't really have abortions. So their birth rates are relatively stable. I know globally birth rates are generally going down, but it tends to be more European people who are having abortions. And also people use it as an argument to bring in more immigrants. So I don't think you're necessarily going to have a falling population at all if you have people having less abortions who are European.
That's true, but then presumably eventually the immigrant populations in the third will eventually take on our standards of living and our standards of having children. So you're already seeing in South America that they're not having children in South America.
And Jamaica.
Yeah.
Could I also ask the thing about immigrants not having abortions? What about sex-selected abortions?
Oh,
which
yes,
is much
that's
more
true.
Common in immigrant communities.
Yeah. I mean, it completely depends on the population, of course. But, I'm thinking specifically about, say, Islam in the UK. Muslims don't tend to have many abortions. And certain other groups as well, it tends to be more white people that are having them. And even, so let's say everybody had abortions at the same rate, all groups in the UK, people still use this as an argument to bring more immigrants into the UK. So the population could still increase even if we had a lot of abortions, if you see where I'm coming from.
That's true, but eventually people would take on this Western infertility culture that we have, and then we would be in trouble. I mean, like, I was reading some interesting stuff about Korea, and the attitude is, well, look, you it's a very competitive society. So you've got to invest loads and loads and loads in each child in terms of education and extra education and private tutors and God knows what they do, with the result that people can't face the idea of having more than one child. Whereas if you take a more laissez-faire attitude, like I did with my children, just let them raise themselves, then it's much simpler. Good. I think this is a Bonnie Blue is a demonic. It's revolting. It's she must know the idea of it is revolting. I can't believe the people that follow her aren't revolted by it. I mean,
Ed, do you think she has a psychological condition or a brain deformity? A serious question.
Yes, I do. Yes, I don't know enough about her. I need to know more, and I should emphasize that I'm not a psychiatrist, but based on her behavior patterns, it seems to be consistent with aspects of things like BPD. Yeah. But in fact, BPD, borderline personality disorder, is heavily elevated among people like porn stars. So the very fact she's a porn star is consistent with something along those lines, because it's attention seeking. It's basically quite dangerous. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know enough about her. But the behavior patterns are consistent with it. Yeah. And it's, as I said, not uncommon among that subsection of society. Yeah. Okay. Now, the next thing I want to move on to then is the issue of Henry Novak, rest in peace. Another thing that I find particularly repulsive, which is that they had a memorial for him, and the far left turned up and started shouting and screaming and saying racist during the exact time. When there was a moment's silence for him. And apparently as well, when he was sentenced, when this Sikh was sentenced, some Sikh had to be restrained and started shouting racist. And I believe it was Vox Populi that was in court and have revealed that. And this is all being suppressed by the mainstream media. It's only little obscure outlets like Vox Populi that are even reporting this. And the parents have just come up and given a rather dignified speech about their son, and nobody bothered to report it apart from GB News, as far as I can work out. So we're trying to suppress our George Floyd, aren't we, Lipton?
And again, I have another beautiful response. Treat leftists like how they treat conservatives and white people. Hassan Piker has been banned from entering the UK. I don't pity him. I think groups like Open at Hate, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the other left-wing groups that engage in warfare against the right should all be abolished. They're demonic. They're divisive. I don't like them.
So what do you say about the sort of the golden rule, kind of Christian-wise, that if you...
No, you treat your enemies like scumbags, because that is what they are.
Yeah, so the Ayatollah Khomeini, when he was told that Jesus said, turn the other cheek, and he said, no, Jesus would never say such a stupid thing.
But Ed, you're the theology expert. Have you heard the theory that turn the other cheek actually meant something different? It was, if you got hit with the flat of the hand, that was one thing. But if you turned the other cheek and you forced the person to hit you with the back of the hand, that was upping the ante. So actually, turn the other cheek could be an ambiguous injunction.
I have heard that, yeah, but he refused it. He said, I have heard it said, an eye for an eye. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And I say to you, you know, forgive him not seven times, but 77 times. So I don't know. It's a difficult, but I have heard that theory. Yeah, I have heard that theory that basically what Jesus meant was just beat the fucking hell out of them. They're all cunts. That's what Jesus meant, but that was edited out of the Bible by various proto-woke biblical exegetes.
Yeah, because I'm just suggesting against your point, you could offer he went a bit, you know, ragey in the temple with the moneylenders, so you could argue he had form.
He did have, exactly, and that was one of the arguments that Bertrand Russell used in his book, Why I'm Not a Christian, for why he's not a Christian. He said that Jesus is a very angry man. And that he didn't want to worship him. So yeah, I read. Yes.
Did you know that Bertrand Russell was an earl?
Yes, I did. He was the Earl Russell.
Yeah, exactly. He was an aristocrat.
He was. Yes. What's your point?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Bert, I knew he was from a wealthy family, but I did not know that he was a real aristocrat.
Yeah, he was. He was an earl. Yeah. And yet he advocated socialism while being extraordinarily rich and being a hereditary peer.
People really discussed that point, that he was a rich man.
A very, very rich man.
He's related to the Dukes of the Dukes in Ireland. So the Russells, they have a branch in Ireland too. They're Dukes.
Are they the same branch, the same family?
Yeah, they're related.
No, but that autistic guy that was Prime Minister, John Russell.
You know, probably. Let me check it out now. But I know,
and then Lipton, there's the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
Yeah, Lipton is not a duke, by the way. He's a Jamaican.
Yeah, first Earl Russell. He was an aristocrat too.
Yeah. I know. First Earl. So he was made an Earl.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the first.
I didn't know that. All right, good. So, where were we? We've gone off topic severely. What were we talking about? Yes, the Novak vigil. What does it say about these people that we're not rioting? Why aren't we rioting and saying?
Because we're pro-social and intelligent. We don't need to riot. We should just imprison our enemies, lock them up. Simple.
Yeah, but it's not simple because our enemies are in government and our enemies are in charge. I mean, Keir Starmer said absolutely nothing about this at all. He hasn't mentioned it. But he was the one kneeling for George Floyd, who was an American criminal that pointed a gun at a pregnant woman's stomach because he wanted drugs. And this poor boy, the worst thing about it, thing that really annoys me, I don't know what you other chaps on the panel think about this, is that when he said he'd been stabbed, the policeman said, "I don't think you have, mate." That's what he said. He addressed him as mate. So as he was dying, there was informality and disrespect. Whatever happened to the time when police officers called you sir? And Madeline, you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, because I was speaking to Europeans and also Americans, Canadians, people from elsewhere in the Anglosphere all weekend. They all know about this case, and things like this actually really damage Britain's international reputation. People don't think well of our government and our police and our state. They're horrified by what happened and they can't understand it, really. They don't understand why the British police would be like this. It just makes us look really, really bad. Everyone's asking me, why do your police, why do your government hate the British people? And these are the news stories that people see about our country. So it just makes us look like a really, really bad country. Nobody has a good opinion of the UK anymore, it seems, when I speak to people from abroad.
I like the UK.
Yeah, people like certain things, but people are always saying that they're worried that everyone will get arrested for saying anything, basically. People used to think of Britain as a good country to look up to, but now everyone kind of looks at us as like, you know, a bit of a prison island. Everyone was worried about people coming back to the UK after this summit. But, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to get arrested is the joke, because you can't say anything. In this case, made it very clear that if someone accuses you of racism, our government thinks that's worse than literally being stabbed. And this is really baffling to a lot of people outside the UK. We just kind of used to it at this point. As horrifying as these things are, they don't particularly surprise us on some level. But for people outside the UK, it's genuinely confusing.
Could I throw in? Sorry, Ed. I was just going to quickly suggest. It's not like me to be optimistic, but linking this, you know, the Manchester airport attack on the police, mm-hmm. and they've now failed to go to the third trial. But actually, I thought that was quite an interesting scenario, because finally the police are on the receiving end of what the rest of the public are on. Two-tier policing has worked against the police. And if more of that happened, maybe the police would realise it's going to come back to haunt you if you keep treating British citizens differently. If you're going to have two-tier policing, don't expect to be protected in the courts when someone from an ethnic minority attacks a policeman or woman.
Well, yes, and there was that case, wasn't there, a few years ago, where there was this tiny policeman, this tiny female police officer, about 5 foot tall, and she was trying to arrest some black guy or something, and he just wouldn't have it, and he was moving towards her, so he was going to hit her, and there was this white man that intervened, and she was calling her colleagues, help me, you know, there was nothing she could do, so I think that the police. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean,
would that man intervene today necessarily?
Well, yeah, I don't
knowing
know,
what
not.
We now know, and again, that's the police are going to have to face up to that. Policing in Britain has always traditionally been based upon consent. You piss off most of the British public to the extent that they are. Don't expect them to help you when you need it.
Paul, no, exactly. Did you see the recent story about those brothers who were seen on camera fighting? Probably they were fighting the police or some law enforcement officers. They were not imprisoned. They're not going to prison. They look Indian. They look either Middle Eastern or Indian.
This sounds like the Manchester airport incident. Is that the one you're thinking of?
They end up going to prison.
Yeah, the jury let them off, I believe.
Yes.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's no further trial because I wonder what the composition of that jury was. It would be interesting if somebody, a neutral journalist rather than a woke one, was at court and noted what the composition of the jury was.
Well, I blame these problems on Ed because Ed should enter politics.
That's very kind of you, Lipton, but both unkind because you blamed me.
You should enter politics.
I can't because I don't...
You can return to the UK and run for one of those parties, either the Tories or Reform UK or Advance UK or Restore UK, whatever.
Well, I think I'd be prepared to come back if, like the Ayatollah Khomeini, if there was came back to Iran from France, if there was a revolution in the UK, and it was felt that I should come back and then take over the country. I can see. But I don't think my profile is quite high enough for that yet. But I can see your point, Lipton. Yeah, if I returned and I was appointed Lord Protector, then I would sort it all out. There would be the day of the birch, where a lot of people would be birched. There would be that. There would be a special day of mass corporal punishment.
Could I volunteer, Ed?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't need to volunteer. You would be flogged for the various anti-scientific things you've said over the last few years.
It's your turn, Paul, to talk about the GB news guy, Leo, who was speaking to the Black American who wanted to break his jaw.
Yeah, well, if Ed's happy for me to talk about that, Ed, I'm being
very polite
this week.
Yeah, just don't say any words that will get me in trouble.
No. It's interesting. For those that aren't familiar, GB News did, they've got an American correspondent who lives over there now, I think, and he was outside an ICE centre. It was during the middle of the day. There was only about 8 to 10 protesters, and there was a white guy and a black guy, quite beefed up, came towards him. The black guy basically lost it and just started to threaten to break his jaw, was emotionally incontinent. The white guy wasn't quite as bad, but he was emotionally incontinent too. And he handled it really well. He just refused to back down, the GB News guy. But he actually went over, it was interesting, there was state police guarding the ICE centre. And he said to the state police, "Do you want to keep this guy away from me?" And one of the police officers said, "You shouldn't ask such provocative questions." When all he had was a microphone, and he said it in a very posh British accent, and the guy was screaming, he was leaning into him, he was spitting in his face. And it goes to my Lily Phillips, Bonnie Blue, this emotional, psychological incontinence that seems to be absolutely widespread. I just find it quite bewildering.
Yes, and I watched the video. People on Twitter, they were saying that the aggressive guy, his prefrontal cortex is small.
Yeah, that would probably be the case.
Yes, they were all saying it. And then I remember J.C. Caruthers, this distinguished medical practitioner who used to write books and articles about Africans and the brain.
Steady on, Livin. Yes, the prefrontal cortex would be limited in someone that had very, very poor impulse control. Was that journalist in America, Steve Edgington?
Or the journalist who used to write the book?
No, the journalist that Paul's talking about.
No, Leo.
Ben Leo.
Oh, Leo, sorry, Leo. Okay, Leo.
Ben Leo from GB. He's also, well, I think Stephen Edgington's still at GB News, but Ben Leo is definitely at GB News anyway, yeah.
Okay, right. So, I don't know. I've always got on well with them in America. I've always, because I one thing that I do is I talk to them like I would do anybody else. Whereas liberal white people don't do that. They change their register.
But honestly, Ed, I don't think this was anything to do with race, because I've seen white far left people with exactly the same screaming ideological madness. So when he started screaming about the British Empire, and it was just this pre-programmed ideological left-wing rant. And I honestly think that's colour neutral.
Exactly. He was saying the British Empire pillaged and raped the world. And I was like, no, slavery declined in Ibadan, Igboland, Sokoto Caliphate, the abolition of slavery. No, the British Empire was good on it.
Yeah, slavery declined in Iberland. We made some mistakes, but we did some good things as well.
You also fired people. You fired people for incompetence.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ed and Lipton and Madeline, the issue about the police, what will happen? People are saying in the comments it was three female police officers. I don't know who arrested the Sikh guy. But how many times do Lipton and I every single week say, what are the consequences going to be?
Exactly.
Why aren't those police officers punished for criminal negligence in office or whatever the correct legal term is?
I hope it wasn't female police officers, because I think a woman using the word mate is doubly offensive. I mean,
until the police officers realise you treat people like this, your career's over and you could face a criminal sentence, what's ever going to change?
No, I mean, I think it goes without saying that the person that addressed that boy as mate should be.
Yeah, I don't think that's the main issue, Ed.
It is for me. That really fecks me off. You call a man sir and a woman madam. That's what you do in formal circumstances.
So for you, the stabbing was incidental.
The stabbing was bad. But it was compounded by the informality. I had to speak to someone from a bank in the UK a while ago, and he addressed me. He said to me on the phone, do you have any disabilities I should know about, like autism or whatever, anything I should know about before I talk to you? I was like, no. And then he's like, okay, Edward. So like, fuck off, right? Like, if you've been introduced to me socially, then I'm Ed. And if you haven't been introduced to me socially, then you shouldn't be using my Christian name, should you?
But Professor Dutton, yeah. But why didn't you tell him about your autism? So you did lie to him.
Well, I'm not diagnosed with autism, am I? It's just a thing that
I think you're splitting hairs now, Ed.
But I
Madeline, are you an entrepreneur?
Not exactly. I suppose that makes it sound like I'm a business person.
Ed, so I think it's begun.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, she's an entrepreneur. Do you know why? Because, like so many talented young people in the UK, she has to forge her own horse because of mass immigration. Didn't you see that data? Since 2020, the percentage of non-EU young people working in the UK has increased by 355%.
And yes, 27 jobs go to an immigrant for one Brit, apparently. So she would do if she was in her 20s. Did you study some useless subject at university, Madeline?
I did. I did French and Russian, and then it was COVID when I finished my degree, so I did a master's to fill the time because there were no jobs. So I've got a master's in translation as well. Yeah, but even then, I used to always think if I'm between professional jobs, because I planned to just have a professional career originally. I thought, okay, I can always fall back on. Not that there's anything wrong with these jobs, but you know, I thought, okay, I can do pub work, bar work, barista, shops. Stuff I've got experience in, but that I wouldn't want to do long term between other jobs. But now all those jobs, they're going to foreign people. So it is a pretty bleak picture for young people. You know, whether you've got qualifications or not, you can't rely on there being any jobs for you at all, because people are coming in from abroad literally to. It is literally that whole thing of everyone said, oh, the foreigners aren't taking your jobs, but like they actually are. That report the other day confirmed it.
And where did you study?
I went to Durham for my undergrad, and then Josephine Butler, which is one of the newer ones. I wanted to make my own food, so I went to the self-catered one.
Never heard of it. I went to Durham myself.
It's new. It's a new one. Which college did you go to?
Hillbead.
Pardon, sorry? Hillbead.
Hillbead.
Yeah, that was that's like out further from the others, isn't it?
No. Madeline, it's specially fenced off. Yes,
it is. Yeah. So, Hang on. Were you at Stockton?
No. I was. Do you know the Hill colleges?
Yes.
I was at the top of the hill, but at the time I went, I started in 2016, and that was 10 years. The college had only been there 10 years, so it was a very new one. So you might not have heard of it.
There was Aidens.
It's near Aidens. It's like across the road from Aidens, really. Like, did you know, what was it called? I can't remember now. Van Milder. Did you know?
Yes.
It's across the road from Van Milder. But it was only 10 years old when I went. So It was a pretty new one, very modern. Like it was like any other uni experience. I didn't have the gowns and the halls and all of that, because at the time I wanted to make my own food and have like a more normal uni experience, really. I used to be vegan, so I thought they'd starve me if I had
used to be vegan. Oh no, are you one of those people that used to be left wing and are now right wing?
Yeah,
that's me. Yeah.
Do you have borderline personality disorder?
I don't know. I've never been questioned on it.
Because that's a little bit frightening. Did you go to Russia or France for your language?
No, I went to both.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's a bit dodgy. She used to be left wing. That's dodgy. That is dodgy. anyway, we're about halfway through. So for those who are new, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Jolly Heretic. We are, of course, online public house. It's on Mondays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss space science and stuff in the news and psychology and all kinds of malarkey. If you are new, would you please subscribe? You subscribe here. I'm subscribing my Substack. That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all those based stuff, in-person interviews, blogs, films I make, and where, if you like what I do, you can support for the cost of a pint of beer a month. If you are in London on the 22nd of June, I will be having a Jolly Heretic meet and greet. And there are still a small number of tickets left. So you can buy that, and we will meet in London, and we will have a laugh, and we will hopefully see my new film about Moldova. By the way, I was in Moldova and they were saying how they wouldn't want to go to the UK because it's so dangerous. In Moldova, they were saying that. In Moldova, where the Foreign Office advice is be very, very careful. And then I went to Transnistria, or Prestrovie, as it's well now known, and they unrecognized country, and people there were saying, oh, I wouldn't want to go to the UK, dangerous. And Foreign Office advice is not to go to Transnistria because it's so dangerous. So that is telling you the people of Bender and the people of whatever the capital of Transnistria, Perestrovia, is called, are scared to go to the UK because it's so dangerous.
What was that place called, Ed? Is it? What did you say it was called?
Transnistria.
No, Bender.
Bender is a town, in Transnistria.
Is it twinned with Woofter?
No, it's where the King of Sweden held out for about 16 years during the Napoleonic Wars, Bender. There's a castle. Right. I forget the name of the capital. Pedestal. That's the name of the capital. If you're watching in Transnistria, hello. They don't have to have special plastic safety lock, like stealing locks on bottles of wine in Transnistria, even though they're so poor that they regard Moldova as rich. And they have to all do gardening and stuff to have enough food. They don't steal. Right, anyway, next to us is Mr. Lipton Matthews. Please subscribe to his channel. That's Lipton Matthews. And he has written various books, most recently African Delusions. Yes?
Yes. Yes. Boston African Delusions. And people, when I look at the comments, do you know what the commenters are saying, Ed? Would you like to know?
Tell me.
They're saying they don't care about Africa, and Africa is not going anywhere.
No, well, it's beginning to go through demographic decline. And then we have below Dr. Paul Taylor, a recovering academic. So please subscribe to his channel. That's Readers of the Lost Art. The links are in the description. And then finally, we have Madeline, Journo Maddie. Madeline, who used to be a vegan, but she's got over it. So you can follow her on Twitter at Journo Maddie, I think it is. Do you have another channel or something, Maddie?
I'm about to, well, I do have a YouTube, but I haven't got that much on that. I'm about to start a Substack where I'm going to write up more about some of the stuff I've been doing recently, which I'll put on my X when I do start it. But I'm also on Instagram as well, same username, Journo Maddie.
Okay, I've got to say, yes, subscribe to my Substack where you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, we have a resident poet here at the Jolly Heretic, Mr. Quinn, and he has written the following poem in honour of tonight's meeting. Bonnie Blue is a side of Millet, a society in its... Hang on. Bonnie Lou is a side of Millet's, a society in its end phase. Her poor unborn baby could represent maybe an omen that means end of days. Thank you very much, Mr. Quinn, and if you like... poems, which you should, then please subscribe to his YouTube. The link is in the description, and also you can buy his book of Jolly Heretic Poetry, which is available on the old Amazon And the link is also in the description. So go over there and support Mr. Quinn. Hello, Lord Quebec, and how are you doing? Slanja, Slanja, va. Okay, now I want to move on now to the nom de guerre that I've given myself, which is Nicola Sturgeon New. And Paul, of course, for some reason, Seaweed Sturgeon. I don't know.
Haven't you heard that one?
No, what's that about?
Honestly, the anecdote was when I studied at Edinburgh, I heard from someone in Scotland that at university she was called Seaweed because she was so unappealing, even the tide wouldn't take her out.
Not true. She's a lovely lady.
Well, she's binary fluid, so I think that's insulting to call her that, Lipton.
Yeah, Lipton.
All she's politicians in the UK are lovely people.
Well, you like Ann Widdecombe, as we know.
But, I love all of them, every single one.
All of the, but anyway, look, we'll go on to that. It's getting, is this her Prince Andrew moment? I mean, I wonder if this is the idea that she stated that she couldn't possibly have known anything.
She didn't know.
She didn't know. They're a couple. They live in the same house. If my wife buys a new dress, I notice. If my wife does anything. And politics is about alliances. It's about, and you have to, you know, be very aware of your allies and hyper aware of what they do. Well, your major ally is your husband or your wife. So of course you're going to observe.
She did not know Ed. They live separate lives.
But how could she not notice the new car or the camper van that was?
Well, Ed, you know, Fritzl's wife didn't realise he'd built a whole bloody basement complex. So, you know, to be fair to Nicola.
Is that true, though? What you say was just a joke.
It might be a joke. I can't remember whether he actually kept her in the basement with some of his kids or whether she was given free range of the house.
I don't know. I mean, you know, because you've
got your face. There'll be people in the comments know all about Fritzl. They're probably related to him, so they might tell us.
I don't know, but your basement, though, does your wife know about your basement full of girls?
She doesn't ask.
Exactly, she doesn't ask.
Don't tell is our policy in our house.
It's that kind of unusual relationship. I suppose if she
has asked me why I order 50 pizzas a week, though.
Personally, Ed, I'm a big fan of Paul. I really like Paul, but I don't think I would live with Paul. I don't know. There's just something strange about living with Paul. I don't know.
I can imagine having a house.
I might be forced to do it, though. I might seriously be forced to do it. I think seriously.
Well, you know how you have a granny flat? I can imagine having a house with a pool flat, which is this sort of annex attached to the house that Paul's allowed to come in for dinner, that sort of thing. But otherwise, he has his own separate flat. I can imagine that. But no, he'd have to know the boundaries. Madeline, you're a woman. Women are perceptive, and they notice details, and they notice all sort of atmospheres, and you know, you're at a dinner party, and your wife says, "Oh, there's a problem between, you know, John and Wendy." And you say, "Don't be so silly, my dear, they're absolutely fine." And then you discover the next day that John's been bludgeoned to death with an ice pick. and your wife was correct all along. I mean, how likely is this?
Well, the Sturgeon situation.
Yeah, the Sturgeon situation.
I think I'd notice if I was with someone who was taking a lot of money, if they were spending it on things. But, you know, I suppose, give her the benefit of the doubt if you're being generous.
Probably he was not spending the money on her.
He was though,
and that's not true. He spent the money on he bought her for a birthday present or something, a very expensive flashy necklace.
I'd have questions.
Right? And it never occurred to her to ask, like,
Maybe he was consulting. Maybe she assumed that he had a consulting gig.
In 1991, my dad bought my mum a designer Salvador Dali watch.
Wow.
From Harrods. And my mum was aware that this was she's like, "How much bloody hell? How much did you spend on this?" You know. So
Madeline, can I ask Madeline, because Ed's correctly identified you as a female.
Yes.
How do you find, I'm impressed with that actually, he's not normally that perspicacious, but how do you find the excuse that Sturgeon came out with that it's all about misogyny?
Well, the question's about her.
Well, the fact that she's a victim, apparently. She's the one suffering, despite the fact there's a man going to prison. That's just an incidental detail.
See, I've always heard someone, I don't know someone personally, to, you know, speak badly about them, but...
No, but she's using... I'm not asking you to. She's using the misogyny excuse. So there were two people living in a house, one of whom... also told other people, women, for example, Joanna Cherry in the SNP, not to ask about finances. There's video footage of her telling fellow SNP members not to ask about financial issues, and they were wrong to raise concerns. Subsequently, there's been a massive scandal financially, and she's simultaneously claiming she knew nothing about it, and that to accuse her of having known something is misogynistic. So they're just general principles. How do you fall back on a misogyny? And also, I'm not sure that in the gender legislation, being gnome, garden gnome phobic is actually misogynistic.
No, it's definitely an excuse that certain women use. You know, you criticise them, they say it's misogyny. It's an easy kind of get out of jail card for a lot of women, definitely.
Yeah.
Let me explain the situation, Paul.
I love it women, when you explain, Lipton.
Exactly. Women think that they don't have agency. They're basically children. That's why they can never be held to account. It's quite simple. It's quite simple. Treat them like children.
Yeah, like rule of thumb. Don't beat them with a cane that is wider than your thumb.
Yeah, treat them like children. So if we expect women to be responsible, we're misogynistic because women are children and they cannot know any better.
Any response, Madeline?
Well, I wouldn't say that women are children, obviously.
Yeah, no, but that's what they're behaving, so treat them as such.
Pardon, sorry?
I said that's how some of them behave, so treat them accordingly.
Yeah, some women do behave childishly, definitely, yeah.
Madeline, have you noticed Lipton's never won for generalisations?
He generalises based on the empirical data. That's not so much a generalization in a negative sense of the word. It's a scientific sense of, you know, reductionism is a good thing. But no, I mean, she's obvious. I can't believe that anyone could. And Laura Kunzberg, I mean, much as she is ghastly, I can't believe that the look on her face was just like, you're talking bollocks, aren't you? Like, there's no way you can't basically witness your husband. What it seems like, having a midlife crisis over a long period of time, over about a decade, this was going on, like from about 2012 onwards, this was going on. And he was apparently having the Amazon packages of whatever random shit he bought sent to his sister-in-law's house, to Sturgeon's sister's house. This is mentioned in the court documents as a kind of weird safe space for these things. That's where it was sent. And then these outrageous expenses that I, well, expenses, what's the word, not what, purchases you've got these people that they want independence for Scotland. They're pro independence for Scotland, and they're stealing £400,000 from the Scottish National Party, which is campaigning in favour of independence from Scotland. And she said, oh, well, he's stealing from me. I was leader of the SNP. Yes, you were leader of the SNP. He was chief executive, so you're his boss. So actually, if stuff like this is going on, it's up to you to you know, you've appointed him. You're a bad judge of character.
But don't you also think it's funny that this is a woman who can't or won't define what a woman is, but all of a sudden, when it's her own skin, she's suddenly the victim of sexism and misogyny, whilst having been instrumental in taking away women's rights in Scotland?
Oh, yeah. Suddenly she knows what a woman is. She knows what a woman is when it suits her. When it suits her as a means of vulnerable, I hate to use, you know, Richard's vulnerable narcissism, essentially. I'm the biggest victim. Oh, everybody look after me. Everyone be kind to me. I'm such a victim. Like, bollocks. She clearly must have thought, where has this camper van that's in my mother-in-law's drive come from? Where's it come from? And she said nothing. And all of the other things he was... One of the things she said, which I thought was appalling, was she said, I shouldn't have to pay anything back out of my own pocket because I haven't benefited from this. Well, you have, actually, if you've paid off a mortgage on a £228,000 house in 6 years, even on your inflated salaries, that could only be because of the extra money that they could pay the mortgage off like that in 6 years. I've got a 20-year mortgage on my house, and my house is worth less than that. Bollocks. Anyway, but go back to this in a minute. We've got a question from Sigurd 4J4K from Switzerland. Well done, Finland, on beating Switzerland last night in the ice hockey world final. We cannot wait for politicians to save us. We cannot wait for politicians to save us. Everyone is mixing in every single day. By then, we won't be European anymore. Waiting and voting will condemn us all to extinction. We have to do it ourselves. Thank you, sir. You make a very good point. I like to think that by sitting behind a computer and drinking Estonian beer at 10 o'clock Finnish time, I am contributing in my own small way.
Having abandoned the rest of us to Blighty.
Well, it's not my fault. I went to university.
Whose fault is it then if it's not your fault? You didn't just get kidnapped and taken to Finland. It's not your fault.
I applied
Nicola
for a
Sturgeon
number...
in a cravat. Go on. Disgraceful.
I applied for a number of academic jobs before I gave up and moved to Northern Finland in 2005. I think that was a reasonable thing to do. Britain wasn't meeting my needs. It wasn't meeting my needs.
Finland's loss is our gain.
I'm sure Finland is the country I'd quite like to be pony trekking or camping or just watching TV. But yeah, it's no good. I can't bear to go back to Durham because I know that I was invited actually to go and speak at this secret based society at Durham University, and I refused because I knew they'd have ruined it. Like they will have ruined it. They will. They've created new colleges that I've never heard of for a start. So that's outrageous.
Well, what I found, I went back because I did a year abroad. When I went back in my final year, I hated it. They'd built a whole load of, the locals hated it too because they built a load of expensive accommodation for the, you know, the rich Chinese students in the middle of the town that no normal students could afford. Tons more students. While I was there, everyone was unhappy because they were adding thousands of more students. And it's a small town, like I'm sure you remember, the pavements were already crowded. And I didn't like it, and I don't know what it's like now, but I don't want to go back for the same reasons. A lot of the good stuff is gone, and there's a lot of terrible new stuff. So even though I was only there, I graduated in 2020, I don't really want to go back and, ruin my memories, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I graduated in 2002, and I even more don't want to go back and ruin it. Peter Ustinov gave me my degree. And I don't want to go back and ruin my memories of the Swan and Three Signets and other places you won't have heard of because they probably all shut down.
I heard of that one. I just never went. Everyone else went, but for some reason I never actually went there.
Clute has closed down.
Yes, it closed. That was the worst place.
We used to go rooting, tooting, clutin' when I was there. College, and you probably can't live in your third year anymore. And just
have they deconsecrated the cathedral yet? Because that's the next step.
Yeah, that is the next step. I don't know. I don't think so. The theology library was in the cathedral, and that's why I was able to watch Harry Potter being filmed because I had the excuse to go into the cathedral because the theology library was in the cathedral.
I think it's completely non-diverse to have a massive cathedral in the middle of Durham.
Yeah, it is. It is.
They need to close it down immediately.
Well, I remember when I was there, there was this black girl, like one of the only black students in Durham at the time, that was arguing, we need to get more diversity. And I said, why on earth would you want that? There's plenty of universities that black people can go to. Why do you want to go to Durham for?
You know, interestingly...
Sent this department and nobody cared because it was those days. Yeah.
Madeline, I was just about to tell Madeline to ignore you so I could speak.
Go on then, say something.
Yeah, so interesting. let's talk about Howard University. Howard University was an elite black school. Upper middle class blacks went to Howard. A few white people went there. It was started by whites. By the 1960s, with the radicalism in the black community and the white liberal community, the standards started to decline. But even before the 60s, students who went to Howard did not do as well on the legal exams like their peers. Their failure rate was a bit lower, but for the most part, it wasn't a bad school. My broader point is that some people endorse the argument that black people have a tendency to degrade institutions. That's what some people believe. And yeah, we have seen where many schools that were started for black individuals, black colleges, historically they were managed by whites. They did relatively okay, and over time they just went downhill. They became ghetto schools. They didn't start like that, but they all eventually became ghetto schools.
Paul, have you blocked Nimble Horse?
Yes.
No.
I told him to stop being. Just listen. I told him to stop being a cock. I remember distinctly. He then made another couple of cockish comments. So I'm living the dream. Lipton and I believe in consequences. If people are going to make ad hominem comments, they say terrible things to Lipton each week. They all want to do weird, depraved things to you, Ed. It's not a problem for you. But if they're going to muddy the comment section with ad hominem comments, they should be prepared to take the consequences, surely.
You can't ban Nimble Horse. You need to unban Nimble Horse. He's been a viewer since 2019.
Right, so why doesn't he start behaving when he's asked? And he said, I didn't get a warning. What, you need to be asked not to be a cock? Is that how it works? And then he acts like a cock again, and then you ban him, and then he complains again. Complaining about left-wing people not dealing with consequences.
You need to unban Nimble Horse.
I don't know how.
Well, you're going to have to find a way, because I'll have to remove the moderator.
So yeah. I don't know if you have been bombarded with a litany of videos on social media, as expected.
Sorry to interrupt, Lipton. I didn't ban him, Ed. I put him on a timeout.
Oh, okay.
So I put him on a timeout. He came back and started being insulting again. So then I put him on a longer timeout. So there's a logic to this that he's struggling to follow.
I see. Yeah, people are saying now free Nimble. So
When his ban's over.
So I can't see any of this because I had to join on my phone, so I can't see any of the comments.
Okay.
Going on over that.
Madeline, you're not missing much.
I don't know if you saw those videos of showing the black students graduating, and instead of walking off the stage like normal people, they descend into a dance. They're always dancing. Like Madeline, she has seen them. Have you, Madeline?
It's not like normal dancing. It was a bit unusual.
Yes. They have to drop on the floor and they're so crazy.
Lipton, when you graduated from the University of Jamaica, did they dance?
No, we did not dance any at all.
So it's not a black thing, is it?
It's a black American. Okay. Yeah. Black Americans are less self-contained then.
Because I have to go on my phone, it's running down my battery. I'm just going to go grab a battery. I'll be back in a minute. Okay.
Right here.
But if they could dance in Jamaica, they would dance. But Jamaica has not been polluted by the war on formality as yet. It's getting there, though, but not yet.
Well, no, exactly. Like I met this black guy in Detroit, and he was saying that he's being discriminated against because he's got this long hair and dreadlocks, and people won't give him a job. And someone actually said to him, "Cut your hair," and he said that's racist. And I said, "Well, it's not racist because if you were in Zimbabwe, I'm absolutely certain they'd say the same thing." And this idea that barristers wearing wigs is racist. Well, barristers and judges and whatever wear wigs in Zimbabwe, and they which is like 98% black, and they cope perfectly happily. I think also Kenya, in fact, is a lot of ex-colonial countries barristers wear wigs, and they have no problem with that. But in Britain, apparently, they do.
If you're a Sikh judge, what would you do?
Apparently, they are given a dispensation and they're allowed to just wear their turban, which I've never understood. Why can't they wear a wig on top of their turban? And more importantly, why can't they wear a motorcycle helmet, a bike helmet, a crash helmet on top of their turban? I mean, I don't mind Sikhs. I like them because when you go to, I was in Birmingham and I had to decide, I was staying at a Holiday Inn. There's awful hotels these days where breakfast is not included in the price. Really pisses me off, that does. And they said, would you like breakfast? I was like, no, I won't have breakfast because I can go to the Gurdwara down the road and just get free breakfast. So that's fine. You know, that I like about Sikhs.
They give you free food?
Yeah, if you go to a Gurdwara, they give you free food and free tea.
Anyone?
Ed, will Madeline be joining us in June?
I've no idea. Wednesday? Where do you...
The 22.
Me and Lipton are going to give a speech.
I could probably come.
She should come.
Well,
you'd like me to come? I can come.
Yes, she should come.
Do you live far from London?
I normally live in London. I'm just travelling at the moment. I'm in Oxford right now, but normally I'm in London. That's why everything's a bit chaotic.
But you sound a bit northern or Midland.
Oh, my parents are northern. I was born in London, grew up just outside London. But because my parents are northern, I say like Grass and Bath and stuff like that. So it's
and you say London as well.
Oh, do London. I didn't even know that one. I say book funny, you know, as in the thing that you read. People think I say book weirdly as well.
Madeline, what part of the north?
Near Manchester, like Rochdale area. Right. Yeah. Normally when I say Rochdale, I get a like reaction.
Why?
Well, because
people know Rochdale. Got you. I once interviewed on the Jolly Heretic a girl that had been grooming ganged, and she was from Rochdale. Yes. No, not a good reputation. But no, it's funny that you've picked up some of your parents. I once took an online this online voice thing you could do, and it identified my accent as being from King's Worthy in Hampshire, which is weird because my mum is from the next sort of suburb over of Winchester. She's literally it's King's Worthy, Week, and that's where she's from, Week, Winchester. So I don't know how they could pick that up, but because I would have thought that if I have any kind of accent, it's a Surrey accent. But
Ed, when are you going to put your book online, the one about the Quakers, so I can download it?
No, Lipton, what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, I'll happily give you a copy of the Quaker book, a signed copy. I can give you a copy of the Jim Watson book.
Okay.
But what I don't like you doing is stealing my intellectual property.
It's reparations.
No, I think if anything you should pay reparations to me for as an English person for all of the brilliant things we brought Jamaica, like a legal system, as you
common
know
law, you're right,
as you know my
common law predicts high quality entrepreneurship,
as you know my English ancestor language. Was the governor of Barbados, so one of your ancestors might have been his slave. And in fact, I like the idea that that's the case. In fact, it is.
I like to download Ed's books online. Like I'm about to read Feminism and the Fall of the West soon. I downloaded it online.
Which is Feminism and the Fall of the West?
Yeah, which is Feminism and the Fall of the West. That was downloaded online. Making Sense of Race, I've completed that. It was also downloaded online.
Okay, so you've stolen that.
I'm reading The Human Herd. I haven't seen that as yet.
No, so I can actually make some money out of that. That's good to know. Have you stolen any of Paul's books?
No, I haven't seen any of Paul's books online as yet.
Oh,
that's terrible. Do you feel left out, Paul? That you're not.
I do. Although then he hasn't stolen my intellectual property rights, so there's an upside.
There is an upside. Now moving on, I would like to address the issue of Dr. Neil Hopper. Who is sexually aroused by the idea of not having any legs. So he cut off his own legs. And he also purchased pornography of men cutting off their penises. And then there was a review of his behaviour by the British Medical Association. And it was concluded that if he's going to do things like purchase videos of men cutting off their penises, he shouldn't be a doctor. And I wondered if we had any thoughts on this. I think it's quite amazing that this fetish exists, but there is a fetish that exists where people identify as disabled and thus have their legs cut off. Lipson.
I am familiar with such cases. Some years ago, a man on Jerry Springer removed his limbs because he wanted to not have them. He did not like his legs, so I'm familiar with the idea of people suffering from that disorder. Should Dr. Neil remain a medical doctor? Well, not having legs will impair him somewhat, and probably he's mentally unstable. But if he's competent to serve his patients, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that a person is sexually aroused by the idea that they don't have any legs doesn't necessarily mean that they're not good at diagnosing, you know, cancer.
Exactly.
But would you feel they were being objective, Ed, if you went to see him with a lump on your leg?
Well,
I'm guessing. I'm just guessing. I'm throwing this out there that maybe he'd advise you have your leg amputated.
He might advise unnecessary amputations.
Guessing.
That is true. Yeah. He might. If you would go in and you would say feeling a bit depressed, feeling a bit down, and then he would say, "Yeah, just see that leg, cut that off, for my own pleasure." Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Madeline, what do you think?
Yeah, I want my doctors to be sane. I think that kind of, you know, there's things you can keep private that maybe people don't need to know about, but sometimes it crosses the line, right? And it's just a bit too weird. Someone who's into amputation, don't personally think should be able to be a doctor. Also, in this case, like, I'm a woman, so it's not quite the same for me as some of the things that he is interested in with men. If I was a man, I wouldn't really want to be seeing a doctor who had those interests.
No, that's potentially fair enough. But a lot of people that go into psychiatry, though, that they're either a bit mental themselves or they have mental relatives.
Yeah, so there's different kinds of mental, isn't there?
Yes, I suppose so. There's the mental of feeling that you want to kill yourself, and then there's the mental of actually chopping off your legs because it sexually arouses you.
Well, that's a serious question. What's the actual substantive difference between that and gender dysmorphia?
None. It's the same. It's essentially the same disorder.
Yeah.
But yet there is a transsexual doctor in Dundee, and there was a case brought because he wanted to use the women's changing rooms. So it's a similar dysmorphia. It's dysmorphia. Yeah. We should understand it as what it is, which is dysmorphia, which is that you have mind body dysmorphia, and that's a serious problem, and it's reflective of and underpinned by various personality disorders.
So that's quite funny. Someone in the comments just said, sorry, I can't read it, Crick X said Paul McCartney didn't seem to mind. It's quite funny.
Do you get the reference, Madeline?
Or you're too young?
Yeah, this was going on when I was at Durham, which is that Paul McCartney married this woman that only had one leg.
Oh.
He's not lying. For once, he's actually telling the truth.
Yeah, Paul McCartney, Linda McCartney, she died, didn't she, Linda McCartney? She died.
Did she only have one leg?
Linda McCartney had two, and she sold vegetarian sausages.
Yeah, that's
what
I knew about her.
Yeah. She died at Linda McCartney. She died of like cancer or something, right? And then he married this hopalong.
Mrs. Ahab, I think he called her.
Yeah, yeah. She's very pretty, but she only had one leg.
Heather. No leg.
Yeah, Heather. That was her name. Yeah. And she got very upset because there was she said if someone says something, there was this whole media campaign that she was involved with. But yeah, she only had one leg, but she was pretty, but she only had one leg, and people found that fascinating, as I recall. This is about the year 2000. So yeah, it's a good point. Are they still married?
No, they got divorced. It was a nasty, long drawn out divorce from memory.
Oh, dear me. No, fascinating. Fascinating idea. Fascinating idea that. I once was in a pub in Kingston upon Thames, and there was this girl up, in the table next to, opposite mine, and she was really pretty, but she only had one hand. And I just found it strangely. What's the word, Paul?
I don't know. Are you going down the erotic route, or yeah, were yeah. you slightly
it was,
put
it
off?
It was very interesting. She just had this stump. Her right hand was a stump.
Why didn't she go for a hook?
I don't know. Exactly. Why not? Well,
that would have been a great chat-up line.
Ed, do you know
hey, what darling,
I'm doing
where's
now?
Your hook?
Sorry, Ed, do you know what I'm doing now?
No.
I have a book right beside me. It is called Two Paths to Progress, written by Joel Mulcair and two other people. And I downloaded it online. So I got it for free again. And I wrote a book review. But I'm still doing some browsing.
That's excellent. I'm researching ghosts at the moment, so I downloaded a book on that, jolly interesting it is too. Yeah, I do. I can't really have a go at you, Lipton, for stealing my books, when I do steal the books of very other people. I mean, have you any idea how much money it would cost? Sorry.
Oh, I just want to know what you're researching about ghosts. That's all.
It just fascinates me. It just really interests me. I think like there's problems with ancient civilizations. I'm just finishing a book on ancient civilizations, and our knowledge of that is insane, bollocks, and wrong. And so then I wondered, well, maybe science itself is just wrong. Maybe the anomalies that I've come up with regard to ancient civilizations.
So with the ancient civilizations, yeah, like is it aliens or something else that's wrong?
No, I mean, with aliens, I'm not so sure. With aliens, I think, like there's about to be a book published next month, which basically proves that there are aliens. So that's not a problem with science. There are aliens, and that's that. And they landed in Roswell, and we've just been lied to. That's that. That's just empirical. That's normal science. I'm talking about ghosts, telepathy, being born again that you were another person in the past life, that near-death experiences. That's the kind of stuff that's interesting and questions, you know, crass Darwinian science. So that's where there's anomalies. There's weird things we don't understand. There's some explanation. There's something we don't quite get. So that's what I've been looking at.
Can I ask you about the ancient civilization thing? When you say it's aliens, do you like believe the aliens built the pyramids, or are you talking about something else?
No, separate book. The problems with science and the like anomalies, but one book, separate book, the one I haven't even started that book yet, separate book, the ancient civilizations, that's going to be published next year. That's just that there were ancient lost civilizations going back a very, very long time with quite interesting technology.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like nuclear power stations.
Wait, so, nuclear power stations?
Yeah. That's what the pyramids were. Yeah.
What? This is new to me.
You may laugh, but well, they certainly had electricity. That's clear. The ancient Egyptians had electricity, so that's clear. But there is a book by a guy called Clive Dunn that argues that it was a nuclear.
Didn't he
power.
Say Grandpa?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's Chris Dunn. You're quite right, Chris Dunn. Yeah, you're quite right, Paul. It was Chris Dunn. Clive Dunn is the actor from Dad's Army. Which Madeline won't remember, and Chris Dunn.
Don't tell him your name, Pike.
Pike. That's we've moved off topic a little bit, Madeline, and this often happens on this program. I think
we're off topic, someone mentioned in the comments Doctor Hook. After I mentioned a hook, do you have a favourite Doctor Hook song?
No, I've never heard of Doctor Hook. Who is
Doctor Hook? Oh, they were brilliant. But I recommend to everyone, if they've not heard it, they did a song that's relatively unknown called From the Jungle to the Zoo. And it's an existential classic about relationships. It's about the tiger getting captured in the wild. And he tells a young tiger, I was once roaming free, but now I've had my claws clipped and I live in a zoo. And it's a metaphor for relationships. It's a brilliant song.
Okay, I shall have a look at that. Pop the Kettle Love, £5, says, is Ed still jogging or has he taken up cave diving, the Finnish speciality? I am jogging. Yes, I jog every day for half an hour while listening to music. I'm listening to Christian fundamentalist rock bands today. And then James Pterodactyl 13068 says, "Yo, what's up, Ed?" Hello, sir. Thank you for your $2 donation. Sorry, Lipton, you were going to say something?
No, I was about to say that I wrote a favorable review of a book, right? And I shared it with somebody, and the person sent one of his workers to have a conversation. It's a tech company. So these days, as I told somebody on my WhatsApp some hours ago, these days I'm only writing what elites want to hear.
That's an excellent idea.
I'm going to become a neoconservative writer, so I'll be writing for America to go to war soon. I'm serious.
Yes. Aren't they already at war?
Yeah.
Lipton, aren't they already?
Yes, they are at war with Iran, but I want to create the conditions for a greater war.
Right.
I've been invited for my next video to go, my next film to go to Ukraine and go to the front.
That's a bit risky.
Yes. And can I contribute to that trip?
Sure. Well, I asked my wife if it was okay, and she said yes.
I can do a direct debit and a lump sum payment if it'll speed things up.
I would have thought it was slightly risky to go to Ukraine at all.
But interestingly, I'm happy that you brought up this topic, because for some time now, I've been thinking about poisoning Ed.
You're going to have an opportunity, Lipton. You're going out for dinner with him soon.
Yeah, poisoning Ed, seriously. And I can take over the show.
Yeah, good. Lipton, I applaud this plan.
Yeah.
So you think, Madeline, going to the front in Ukraine is a bit dangerous?
Yeah, I've met some people who've been. And yeah, they get bombed and tell other people not to go because you might get drone striked and all that kind of stuff. And the blackouts are a bit of a pain as well. I've heard, you know, curfews and everything.
You've met some people that have been, so they've survived.
Yeah, I've met people that have been and survived. Not like they've gone to, I don't think I've met anyone who's fought directly, but I know people who've been out there, but it is a pain to get in and out of the country. And yeah, I know people who've been there for tourism and humanitarian reasons since the start of the war, some fairly recently, yeah.
Right, but they did survive, that's the point.
Yeah. But they didn't go right to the front, and they've told other people not to, because other people have said, "Oh yeah, I want to go fight. It would be good content." I won't name who that is, but yes, it's people say don't do that because of the drones. You might actually end up dead.
Tommy in the chat said it'd be a good way to lose both your legs.
and then I get like a famous pop star girlfriend. That's what happens when you lose your legs. I'd end up with Cheryl Cole or someone I don't know who, whatever the modern equivalent of the Beatles is. No, well, I'm up for it. I'm up for the idea. I mean, I went to the most dangerous part of Detroit, and lived to tell the tale. And I went to the most dangerous part of Chicago, and lived to tell the tale. There weren't drones, no. There were no drones. There was a lot of African Americans, but there was no drones. So it's the drones.
It's the drones that are the problem. Yeah, they're pretty effective.
The drones that are the issue. So I shouldn't go that near the front. All right. No. Okay. I will take that into account. Okay. Well, we better wrap up now. We hadn't, because we started 5 minutes late because Madeline couldn't work out how to use the thing.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that.
I don't know. It was all quite simple to me. Yes, that's the other thing. Rupert Lowe, Lipton, debate on the old grooming gangs in Parliament. Do you think that will go anywhere, or is it just going to be a damp squib?
I think it will go somewhere. It is gaining some traction in the mainstream and the not-so-mainstream media, and I would love for it to go somewhere. But then again, people in Western civilizations, they suffer from pathological altruism, so probably it won't go anywhere.
That's a good point. I'm sorry, someone is saying surviving Detroit is one thing, surviving biker in Newcastle is another thing. I've been to Newcastle, and I've been to Biker to watch a black metal concert in November 1999. Madeline, when you were at Durham University, was there always some twat that would say, guys, yeah, let's like go to Newcastle. Let's get the train to Newcastle. Let's go to the Boat.
Yeah.
There's a nightclub in Newcastle called the Boat. Oh, there's the best jazz club in Newcastle. Let's go to Newcastle.
I didn't know you studied with Welsh people then.
It's very good, sir. That's very good. Did you have really that?
You know, you get the people would come from Newcastle to Durham for a night out, like Hindus and stuff, the opposite way.
Just turn the camera off.
Going off on my phone. But yeah, I never understood why you'd get these middle-aged women for a hen do come to Durham instead of Newcastle when Newcastle was meant to be better for the night out.
Yeah.
Have I disappeared?
Maybe they're hunting fresh young student male meat.
No, you are here. Yeah, I was.
Wait,
I was
my audio's gone.
Oh, we can hear you. I was asked
sign out... language.
Yeah. Or speak in Russian.
Okay, what's happened? One moment.
Do you remember, Ed, the funeral of Nelson Mandela and they had the guy doing the fake sign language?
Yeah, like this.
No, he kept going like that. Whenever he didn't know a phrase, he just did that.
And they kept moving about and stuff as well. They couldn't just sit still and enjoy the funeral.
Is your audio back?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you. It's fine. We're probably finishing now, so it's we've kept on topic and we have over 1,000 viewers and we're pleased. Yes, good. It's fine. We can hear you. It's okay. Okay. So I would like to round up. So oh my god. So I would yes, good. So don't touch the camera again. Stop.
Madeline, stop it.
No, it's not good content. Stop, touch the camera. People don't like that. Oh my god. Oh dear. Lipton, look what you've done.
What did they do?
You've scared her away with your flirtation and your glib comments. Okay. I would like to thank you all for tuning in, and I think we have kept on comment and kept on topic, and I believe that. And we will see you all next week. And tally ho, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Oh, that was hilarious.